The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, and end of another week. Boy, they go fast. Like about 2 days, and they're gone. It's that time of year again. We're in the late stages of winter, and we watch every day. And I'll tell you, remember when we were thinking that Donald Trump was going to be a president of peace, a man who, like Washington, pulled us out of foreign entanglements and all that? Well, we knew, let's be honest, we knew that we were headed toward World War III with Hillary Clinton. There was no question about that. But when you look at what Donald Trump is doing now, let's start with Yemen and the loss of a Navy SEAL there. That was a raid into a sovereign nation conceived by the Obama regime, but approved by President Trump's. And we lost a man, and President Trump correctly went to pay his respects. But then we go from there to North Korea, Donald Trump threatening North Korea. And as he said, everything is on the table. Defense Chief Mattis threatens North Korea. They're talking about nuclear war. I do believe that Trump's response and those around him and those who may be ordering him to do some of these things will use the big hammer. They'll just end it. There won't be any traditional fighting. There will be the nuclear hammer. And it's over. Bang. The idiot Nikki Haley threatening Russia and its alleged regression in the American-caused hellhole of Ukraine. What a moron she is. Secretary of State Tillerson, another idiot. Threatening China in no uncertain terms. Threatening China. 1.2 billion people, thermonuclear weapons, super advanced technology, a very competent adversary, and I don't see us defeating China at all unless they use the hammer. Trouble is, the hammer will be used on us. Donald Trump threatening Iran again in another war for Israel. That's what it would be. No other way to look at it. So what's going on here? Is Donald Trump a man of peace? So far, he and his administration are doing the same kinds of things, perhaps even with arguably more vigor than the Obama regime did. We're going to have to see. That's why I ask you to hold off, wait 90 days before you make your decision about this president and his administration. I don't know how much influence has been pushed on him by other people. It almost seems like Dick Cheney is ordering this activity. There are other examples, but you get the picture. We talked about it with Jim Fetzer last night. If you want to go to YouTube and look at the video, you'll hear the whole hour with Jim. And take a listen. He is very pro-Trump, and it was very difficult for him to come to terms with the facts that I was able to lay on the table last night. They're not pretty. So that's the story there. Now, to tell us another story from an astrological point of view is Madeline Gerwig. Hello, Madeline. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm getting over this cold. I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry to hear you got a cold. That's rough.
Well, it's been lasting in most people's bodies for a month or longer.
So oh my goodness.
I'm 3 days and I feel fine. I just have a scratchy throat and so forth. But thank you. Thank you.
I hope you feel better soon. That's rough.
Yeah. Well, when you have a lot of work to do, it makes it harder, but it gets done.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So what's going on up there?
Oh, everything up here is great. I have no complaints. I'm just busier than a beaver. I'm working on the 2018 Good Timing Guide and getting ready for, you know, finishing up a second book on money. So it's a busy time and lots going on. But yes, your question about Trump is quite the interesting one because. Actually, I was looking at his cycles, and they get worse instead of better in terms of being volatile. He has a cycle that's going on right now that's what I call kind of like threatening talk cycle.
Yeah, well, it's yeah. I'm afraid it's more than bluff and bluster because the men around him have the keys to the garage where all the nukes are stored. And
well, don't worry about the nukes. The ETs are not going to let that happen. But you know,
well, they didn't help the Japanese, did they?
When are you speaking of?
Oh, 1945.
Oh, but that was before they said they would prevent anything.
Hard to keep track. Go ahead.
But anyways, Mars. He's got Mars square his. Mercury right now. That's going to be over in about 4 months, but this is what I call kind of aggressive talk. And
oh, it's very aggressive. This is not diplomacy. These are playground tough guy threats.
Right.
Is what they are.
Yeah. And he's got a worse cycle coming up that comes in range in 4 months. It's going to be in range for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very volatile, explosive cycle.
Is it him or is it people around him?
It's him. But you have to remember that this is true in every organization. It doesn't matter whether it's a teeny one like mine or the government. Whoever is at the helm is putting out the central vibration. So if he is in volatility mode, every employee in the federal government will be basically amplifying his energy. So that is risky because that's going to be happening. Let's see, that comes in range in about 4 months from now. So you're talking, you know, probably February, March, April, May. So early June, right around, close to his birthday.
Right.
So that is definitely challenging. It is a cycle that will peak in 1 year after it comes in range in 4 months, and then it will take another year for it to completely dissipate. So that is definitely scary from that point of view, that he has been somewhat of a warmonger. I think the difference with Obama and Trump is that Obama was a little more discreet. he wouldn't tell you what he was doing.
That's a fair statement. In Obama's 8 years in office, he ordered dropped over 100,000 bombs on human beings and targets.
And see, none of that really makes the daily news, if you know what I mean.
No, they covered for him. Absolutely.
Yeah, they did. They covered for him, but yeah. So we have that kind of challenging situation. We also have, he has a cycle that really is him gaining a tremendous amount of power, and of course being president is that situation. But it also suggests that he has very strong allies, very powerful allies, I should say, that help to keep him in power. So that cycle is going on. That one's peaked just maybe about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago. And that's got another year, almost a year, 11 months to go. So
you know, before I forget, he has not, I want to remind all of you, ordered the withdrawal of the thousands of tanks and I don't know how many tens of thousands of American troops are on the Eastern European border with Russia. And then there's NATO.
Oh, that's right.
He hasn't pulled them back. He hasn't said they're coming home. He hasn't said anything about Afghanistan. He won't either because the poppies are there. We'll always be in Afghanistan.
Oh, my God.
Opium.
Yep, right.
So I think he was set down and told what he could and couldn't do as president. And he's having to follow orders to sneak in maybe some of the Trumpian things he wants to do. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to tell you a few other cycles that are pretty strong right now. Now, I think I mentioned earlier that he is, last month anyways, that he is very protected, both in his birth chart and in his inauguration chart. And by transit right now, Jupiter is trining his sun, and it's going to pretty much be trining it until about maybe October this year, September, October. So he's really very well protected. I'm not worried about them being able to kill him or anything like that. But he also has an amazing aspect going on right now where, he's doing what I would call radical or unusual things. So that's part of what's going on is he's getting that influence right now. And he's always had that influence with him. It's just more exacerbated at the moment.
Right.
And, but he was born with Sun conjunct Uranus, and right now Uranus is sextile his Sun as well. And so he's getting an extra dose of doing things that are unusual or unexpected or radical. And at the moment, Pluto has been squaring his Jupiter. Now, that is part of the big power challenges that we see, big power struggles going on. And I do not expect to see that change throughout his entire 4 years because that cycle was exact for his inauguration. So I just think he's going to be, involved in power struggles for his entire presidency. But it is even stronger at the moment because it's, the transit is very strong, and later in the year it'll get a little bit less, but it's going to come back again and go forward again. You're looking at about a 2 year.
Hmm. So what we see is what we're going to get. Is what you're saying?
I would say so. Yeah. I don't know if he will calm down. His son progressed into Virgo, which tends to be a little more reserved and grounded and, practical, things like that. Hey. I'm not seeing that part yet. It's
what
been
did you
in
say
there about,
well, his, about Pluto?
Ahead.
Pluto? And why would Pluto matter? And for them, what about Mickey and Minnie?
Right. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, Pluto, even though it's been reduced to a dwarf planet by the astronomers,
right.
Astrologers do not give any credence to that discussion. Pluto is the slowest planet in our zodiac to date. There's probably something else slower, but we don't know about it yet. And so because it's the slowest planet, it's the one that always wins. Nothing can outdo it. You see, nothing can outlast it. So, and Pluto is associated with transformation and power. And when it is square to somebody's Jupiter, there are a lot of power struggles. And, of course, we have been seeing that really since the election. And I don't expect to see that change throughout his entire 4 years, because it will improve somewhat over time, but particularly this year, it's going to be quite challenging. I don't see that. I don't see that changing at all.
Right.
And he'll have it throughout the 4 years, but it will be to different levels of, you know, different degrees. You see, over time, Pluto will move on and get away from his the square to his Jupiter, so it'll get a little bit better. But it's in the inauguration chart. It's very exact in the inauguration chart.
So you're talking about, generally speaking, not a time of peace and calm, but of volatility and certainly stress, numbers of stresses. Not to mention the mainstream media war on Trump that's going to go on for at least 4 years.
I would not be surprised. I can't really see that they're going to give him any credit for anything.
No, not going to happen. Nope.
No, I don't think so. Nope. People will either have to resort to the internet to get their news, or they won't, or else they'll just be fed lies. You know, it's just pretty much what will happen.
Right.
But it's... we have to remember that we're still in this revolutionary energy period, and we elected a revolutionary leader. So that's really where we're headed for. Now, can he prevent the financial crash that was ready to happen if Hillary had been elected? I don't know. Maybe he can. There are rumors that he's going to bring in gold from Asia and back our U.S. dollar with some percentage of gold.
Well, that's assuming Asia will sell it. The Chinese have been acquiring gold in enormous quantities for years now. So I don't know where he's going to get it.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Pete.
Walmart?
No, I don't think so. But I do think that they do have sources, so I'm not at liberty to discuss that, but the possibility would prevent the U.S. dollar from crashing, and it would prevent a financial crash, which is always a possibility with the amount of debt that we have. So we can't forget that we have $20 trillion in debt. You know, it keeps on growing, so it's not going away anytime soon. So there are some reasons, and from an economic point of view, Jupiter square Pluto, which is so prevalent during this year, is also associated with problems in bonds. So you're talking municipal bonds or corporate bonds or U.S. Treasury bonds, you see. And one of the things I had heard rumored, which I have no idea if this would actually occur, is that Trump would try to negotiate down the U.S. debt from $20 trillion to $10 trillion. Now, you know, from the country's point of view...
The art of the deal at work here.
The art of the deal, yes. Yeah. Right. So from the country's point of view, that would be a good situation. That would mean we'd have half of the lead weights taken off of us, and that are actually holding our economy down. But from the investor's point of view, who gets stuck with holding the bag, those guys are not in too good a shape if that happens. So I think, you know, I have told my subscribers for years, you know that it's risky to hold U.S. Treasury bonds. It's just the way it is. We don't know when or if the U.S. will default, but it's a high probability that at some point they will either have a selective default or, you know, just default outright, one of the two. We don't know which one it would be. But if you can imagine that, let's suppose your best optimal weight was 150 pounds, but instead of weighing 150 pounds, you weighed 307 or 8 pounds. See, that would be 105% more weight than what you would ideally want to have. Well, the U.S. has 105% ratio of debt to gross domestic product. So we have a higher level of debt than we even make in an entire year. You know, that's really a negative situation to be in. You know, it's basically you're beyond broke. you can't possibly earn enough in a year.
Right.
So there's really a situation there where the debt, you know, everyone talks about growth, but really what's growing is the debt. And until we get the debt down, you really can't grow out of that situation, because it's like your economy is being held down by lead weights. And you're asking this person with lead weights to swim the English Channel. It's like that.
Float the English Channel and being towed by a boat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's beyond ridiculous.
Now,
so
let me go back, if I might. Where did you hear about this rumor that he was going to try to negotiate the debt down by 50%? That's a
you
big
know,
story.
Yeah, I don't remember where I heard that. I wish I could remember where I saw that. But I do see a lot of information around, and I don't recall exactly where I heard that. But it wouldn't surprise me if he would try to do that, because he's the
so
guy
he'd have to go to the Federal Reserve and make a deal. Let's make a deal. And they'd have to agree to cut the debt in half. That's pretty amazing. Or are there other forms of debt you're talking about?
Well, I mean, certainly there is a huge amount of debt that is owed to the Federal Reserve. So that certainly is one possibility that he could negotiate a fair amount there. But, of course, the majority of our debt is in Treasury bonds. So, so that would just mean that, you know, if you owed a Treasury bond, you might end up with 50 cents on the dollar.
Interesting. Well, that's a very big story that I've never heard about. And I'm good. Hold on a second, Madeline. We'll be right back. Just a minute, and we will continue. Hang on. Madeline? All right. Very interesting. So what we have in some speaking about the Trump administration is all-out war on the Trump administration from all the mainstream media, with the exception of Fox and a couple others. The alt media split. They're not 100% behind him, but most are. At least the ones I look at are at least trying to present reality. But Trump's astrological projections are, wow, they're not exactly from the planet Xanax.
They're a bit on the challenging side. They're pretty warlike, so but not all of them. I don't want to put all of that there, but you know, he definitely has some anger kinds of activities.
Are we talking about lifelong subliminal things that now he's literally, arguably, the most powerful man on the planet? And is this stuff just going to start pouring out of him? Or is he acting on orchestration? Where is it
well,
coming from?
Well, it's somewhat hard to know the answer to that, because remember, the Pluto that's sitting on his Jupiter are these very powerful people that are right. aligning with him, and we don't know who those powerful people are behind the scenes. And, you know, so is it the cabal telling him he can only go so far or what? I don't know. The other question about, you know, is this basically his natural state? I mean, I think I have mentioned before that he's a natural warrior king. So he always has had this warrior
right.
energy about him.
You can see that,
yeah.
certainly, in his
yeah.
demeanor, his bearing.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
And I believe I read somewhere along the line that he went to a military school when he was young.
That's right.
So, you know, he probably had a little bit of that, you know, kind of trained into him as well. But, you know, because he has that natural orientation, when one of these cycles comes along where he is in a more explosive or volatile type of energy, it just makes it more dangerous, you see, because he's naturally oriented to being a warrior. And
I hear what you're saying.
So actually,
and
I think Pence is a good kind of counterweight to him a bit. You know, Pence is a little more controlled, and he's not the type to explode. So perhaps Pence can calm him down, which would be helpful.
Well, Pence is a known globalist, so there's another issue there. Pence will do exactly what he's told.
Well, that's another possibility, too. But wouldn't it be helpful if Pence could possibly keep him from, attacking a few countries and things of that nature?
I think the real issue here is that if he attacks, and he's made it quite clear with the expression, I'm not taking anything off the table. Now, that's unmistakable.
Right.
So that's... He's He's not going to take out a tome on diplomacy and diplomatic talk and semantics.
No.
It isn't going to happen. He's going to move
not
swiftly.
With Trump.
He's going to move quickly, and it's going to be decisive. But
yes.
the real problem is this anti-Putin rhetoric out of the mouth of that idiot, Nikki Haley. Now, she's obviously taking orders and following protocol, but she doesn't seem to have any trouble doing it. And then when you start pushing on North Korea, you have to remember that North Korea is connected to China.
Right.
And if you start telling the Chinese, as Tillerson did, that they will not be allowed in international waters to build any more artificial islands, nor will they be allowed access to the ones they've already built. You can't do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work, no. Nope. But I don't have a solution for you, at least not this month. But I do want to tell you about some other cycles that are going on. And before we get to the rough cycles, next week we have the beginning of two lucky eclipses. And so this
sounds like a casino.
Well, I tell you, for people who happen to have this particular eclipse impacting their chart, I mean, they are lucky, 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 because it is associated with lucky events, sudden happiness, situations that make a person's life better, you know, change their life for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular eclipse is happening this month. It's on the moon for the USA. So, golly, if there was ever a chance that the USA could pull a rabbit out of the hat, this would be it. Without war, I mean, or without, you know, some major situation. Now, the other thing I wondered about with Trump is, because he's such a negotiator, is... he might threaten people, or countries, I should say, with the intention of negotiating a particular outcome. You see, so I don't know what
I get the psychology, but I'm not sure how well it's going to play in Pyongyang, for example.
Right. But it's not impossible with this eclipse coming up that something could be negotiated in some way that would work out good for the U.S. Now, that could be a number of other things, too. That could be something more related to something that he's going to do for the American people, because the moon in the USA chart is the American people. So something, and maybe it's tax reduction. You know, it could be something like that. So this particular eclipse is at 22 degrees Leo, at almost 22 and a half degrees Leo. So roughly, if a person has a planet or a personal point, like their ascendant or midheaven or something like that, between 19 to 26 degrees, then they're likely to have this sudden lucky event that will change their life for the better. And we can hope that perhaps either the U.S. dollar gets gold-backed or something good happens that would help the average person to have a better life. And there is another eclipse on the 26th of this month. Now, and the first one on next Friday, on February 10th, actually has a lot of great cycles associated with that particular eclipse. So it's actually got high growth, unexpected growth. It's got some stability. It's got just a whole...
You're talking economic growth or cultural or social or a tumor?
Any of them.
What are you talking about?
Any of them.
Anything.
Yeah, so, you know, if you were a business, you could have, you know, business growth, or you could have, you know, so it's a great time to promote something, a product, a service, something like that. Mm-hmm. You could enjoy international or cultural events, do something really fun or different, you know, that would, or take a trip or something like that. That would be a great thing. So there are a lot of different ways to experience it. And there are challenges that day, but I have to say, this is both for the 9th and 10th are exceptionally good days. And we don't actually get better days until maybe May or June. So
9th
really,
or 10th of February.
Yeah, after the 10th of February, we don't get better days until May or June.
Are we going Mercury retro then?
Well, we're going to go into Venus retrograde next month, which lasts 6 weeks. And before that finishes, then we're going into Mercury retrograde, and they don't finish until like May 4th or something like that. So, or May 3rd maybe. So it's a rethink period coming up that is pretty extensive. And Venus is going to slow down here, especially the last 2 weeks of this month. So money starts to slow down and things like that. And Valentine's Day looks pretty good. And the day after Valentine's Day looks good. So, you know, we have these really good days, the 9th, the 10th, the 14th and 15th. Mm-hmm. And then it gets more challenging. And right around the middle of this month, we get a very volatile, explosive set of energies, which will not be so positive.
Well, tell me why you say that. Now, I don't need the astrological minutia, but what is it that's going on that would cause all of a sudden an explosive scenario to be lurking in the background?
Well, Mars will be heading towards Uranus, and when those two get together, they are wicked. That's all I can say. They're very volatile, they're explosive, and along the way, of course, Mars will also square Pluto, which is quite challenging. It's a time when you see a lot of rage, actually. A lot of rage and anger, and it's ideally meant to transform our motivations. But the outward expression that I see of it is very challenging because anger and rage and explosions, physical explosions, things that, you know, you see plants explode, you know, explosions, you know, buildings fall down and things like that, train wrecks, you know.
Oh, that sounds like a fun time for all.
Yeah, it's rough. It is rough.
And now, that's the, what time, what day again?
Well, that's the latter half of this month.
All right.
It's going to peak around the 26th, 27th, mm-hmm. 25th, right in there. And so it's pretty rough towards the end of February.
Well, this is kind of lining up with what he and his surrogates have been saying. They're threatening a lot of people. And when it comes to put up or shut up, you know, if somebody calls our bluff, and somebody probably will, I think they're getting tired of this. We were expecting a peaceful transition here into something more bucolic, and we're not seeing it yet.
Right. Right. And these energies are definitely challenging for that.
You know, what just popped into my head? Now, you figure this out. Out of nowhere. Now, I remember this as a little kid. Dinah Shore singing, "See the USA in your Chevrolet."
Right.
Now, where did that come from? What does that mean?
I don't know. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, it kind of takes you back to the time when things were a lot different.
They were a lot more stable, huh?
Yeah.
So we're hearkening back subconsciously to a time when things were certainly more conducive to happy times. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, when we were in school, we did have nuclear bomb drills, you know, hide under your desk kind of bullshit, but
that was one of the best defense postures. I've read about all that, and these people actually thought that getting under your desk was going to do something. They
that's ridiculous.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. But, you know, when you're a kid, you just do what you're told, right?
That's right.
so anyways, that's a different USA, right, back then.
Well, I don't remember it all, but I've seen it. You can see it on video, too, on YouTube. Of course, everything's on YouTube.
Right.
The Dinah Shore Show.
Oh, my God, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a few other things.
Let me
that
say
are going
one other
on.
Thing. May I?
Oh, okay.
This is important. And a lot of people, yours truly included, really I like to collect, I don't have a lot, I have a few things, but older things, especially from the 1930s, different time, different age, 1950s. There's a secure feeling there. That at least we knew how to do it once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that we still know how to do it.
Well, I used to work in manufacturing, and of course, one of the things that manufacturers knew was they had a measurement called mean time between failure. And in those older days, they wanted the biggest number you could come up with. You see, uh-huh. because that uh-huh. indicated the level of quality that they were producing. But as things shifted, I guess I would have to say maybe in the last 30 years or somewhere in there.
Right.
You know, they discovered that basically if they would go for smaller mean time between failures, they could sell more washing machines or dishwashers or mm-hmm. ovens or whatever. they could sell more of it if it would just fail sooner, see?
Called built-in obsolescence.
Yeah, and it's actually a challenge for the poor land.
It's a damn dirty trick is what it is.
Yeah, because all this stuff ends up in your landfill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a dryer that I had for over 30 years. I went to replace it, and the guy told me that that nothing would last probably beyond 5 or 6 years.
Not and anymore.
I would be lucky if it would last 6 years.
You used to be able to go into Sears and get at least a 20-year set, a washer and a dryer. They were
right.
Just Kenmore was absolutely the best. Don't
right.
ask me why. It wasn't Maytag, it was Kenmore. And it lasted and lasted and lasted. I've had a washer and a dryer now for what, six, seven years, and the washer's going.
Wow. Yeah, it's pathetic. But I want to mention one other thing here, which is that right now we have a set of cycles that are related to disclosure or secrets being revealed. And I thought about this the other night when I saw the news that they found six Republicans on Soros' payroll, including Paul Ryan.
Yeah, I saw that story. I didn't read it. Rat Ryan is being compensated by Soros. See, there you go.
Well, McCain and Ryan and
right.
Rubio and
Rubio,
Lindsey Graham and John Kasich and
some of the
else.
Sleaziest examples of
yeah.
modern American politics.
Yeah,
being paid for.
Yeah. Yeah, being paid for by Soros. I'm like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. But that's an example of that particular energy that we're seeing. And I still expect to see something come out about Antarctica. I think, golly, just about every major leader in the world has been to Antarctica lately. And,
right.
You know, it's just, it's getting to be pretty close to time to start telling the people what's going on down there.
Well, I think, obviously, we can pretty well guess what's going on down there. There are two things. One would be the remnants of an ancient civilization under the ice that they have found.
Right, right.
And two, potentially, an ET base or two down there, which are still functional, one of which incorporated German advanced aerodynamic machines, discs
right.
in the 30s and 40s.
Right.
We have made the entire Antarctic virtually a no-fly zone. There's a huge reason for that.
Well, I knew that there was a no-fly zone over that big middle
right.
place where you can see through, but I didn't know that the whole of Antarctica had become a no-fly zone.
It's, you don't go down there unless you get super clearance. It's not saying you can't. It's saying it literally the whole damn thing is under surveillance. Extreme scrutiny all the time.
Wow. Well, I'm sure it's not going to be too much longer before we find some stuff out. And with these kind of cycles that are going on, and this isn't just for right now. I mean, this is going on a kind of a regular basis. So every few months we get another boatload of disclosure information, and then we get another boatload and so on. And so there's not much they can do now to prevent leaks. It's just
mm-hmm.
impossible. So...
Mm-hmm.
So the information always ends up coming out one way or the other. And, you know, so this is kind of a big deal. I do think at some point we will see more disclosure about 9/11. At least I certainly hope so. And, of course, it would be good to have disclosure about, you know, ETs, UFOs, the special technologies that have been suppressed for eons.
Yeah, oh, there's warehouses full. I don't... Why people can't get past this? Well, I understand why, because they're captive of a mainstream media mindset, which tells them how to think, what expectations to have. We don't need the government to tell us what we already know. There's
yeah,
so much
sure.
evidence and information about extraterrestrial visitation here. It's absurd.
Well, we don't need the government to tell us about that. What we need the government to do is to release the suppressed technologies.
They're not going to do it. It's all a petrodollar. They won't do it. They're going to keep control of the money. They will not do it.
Well,
there'll be some fringe successes, but they'll be quashed. There've been too many Stanley Meyer. There've been too many people who have been killed. They kill
yeah.
people. They,
yeah, they do.
Kill
they
people
do.
All
yep.
the time.
Yep. No, that is true. They do that. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see if some of the cabal will leave and perhaps some of these things will come out. We'll see. Let's see. I should tell your listeners one other thing here, which I want to be sure I mentioned, which is that for any of your listeners in the Seattle area, I will be speaking February 19th. That's a Sunday.
A public appearance.
Yes. I'm going to speak at East West Bookshop about the astrology's economic and political forecast for 2017.
Nice. I'll on the same day, I'll be speaking at the North South Bookshop. So
it's, oh, very good. Very good.
I want to balance it all, you know.
See. Of course. So anyway.
Where is the North South East West Bookshop?
East West is on, it's actually part of Roosevelt Square, which is like 65th or 64th
in
Northeast.
Seattle.
In Seattle, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's you know, 65th and Roosevelt
Way. So we can click on your name and guests, and everybody can go and see that. You've got it marqueed,
yes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes, I have it on my website, and it'll take them to the East West Bookshop site and so forth to register.
You're going
to
stream it live?
Well, no, but I am going to record it for people who can't be in Seattle because there's so many, right? And so I will make that available on MP3 later on.
Nice.
So so that will be coming soon. And let's see. I think there was one other thing I was going to talk about. Oh, I want to talk about Venus retrograde real quick.
Yeah, I've not heard that very often.
Well, it only happens about once every 19 months, so it doesn't come around as often as like Mercury, which happens three times a year. So Venus retrograde is a time period when we rethink our relationships and our money and our values. So these are kind of three big issues, and since we're always kind of making our choices based on our values, or we should be making our choices based on our values, then our relationship situations and our money situations should ideally follow in alignment with whatever our values are. So during the 6 weeks, this is going to be March 4th through April 15th, and, you know, I would have to say we see more people either separate or divorce or decide to separate or divorce during Venus retrograde than any other time. It's not a good time to take on loans unless you are refinancing a loan for less money, for a lower interest rate.
Okay.
So if you can do that, that's good. Otherwise, I would not take on a loan if you can avoid it.
Well, I'm going to the Bank of Gerwick, and I'm going to refinance mine.
Okay. There you go.
I expect the best rates.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. And so this time period is always a little interesting because especially when it occurs at the beginning of the year, we're trying to figure out money for new projects and so forth, and so this is kind of a stall. You see, it slows everything down because we have to rethink how the money's going to work, or maybe it's not going to work the way we thought it would. Maybe it'll work a different way.
Right.
You see, so that goes on, and that's starting March 4th, and it will last through April 15th, and then Mercury retrograde actually starts April 9th, so it starts before Venus retrograde finishes.
Okay. All right, got to wrap it up. Go ahead, 30 seconds.
Okay, so we got a lot of rethinking ahead of us in the next 2 months.
All right, back in a minute, and we will revisit you. And next hour, you can call in and talk to Madeline. I might be hanging around, too. So let's see here. What is that phone number again? 844-769-2944. One more time, 844-769-2944. Give us a call, and we'll be right back.